Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4-F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. I want to say welcome one, welcome all to the broadcast tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight. And we just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. We want to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, as we have a great program lined out for you tonight, great gospel music, a great message from God's Word, and tonight, highlighted from our Holiness Bibles for the Blind ministry, will be a message about the Worldwide Church of God will be featured. You'll be able to find that on our website. Just go to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4-F-O-R, theblind.org. Click that. Once you got that in your browser and you hit enter, then you just click sermons, then click fearless teachings. Go down, right down to the almost the bottom of the letter T's of those sermon titles that pop up, of the letter T, and you'll find the Worldwide Church of God. Click that, and you'll get all the details and be able to get a free download, as well as you can give a love gift if you wish to do so. We would appreciate that. Amen. After that, we will have Brother Tim coming in. He's already nine for 10. Will he make it 11 for 12 tonight, or will he still be 10 for 12 tonight? We'll find out with the song and poem. And then finally, of course, we have Sister Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight, Sister Ruth?
Let me see here. Oh, God's 2 o'clock.
Ah, very interesting. So you'll want to stay with us, dear listener. So with that, Sister Ruth, and then, of course, at the end, we'll have open mic as well, but we're about to have that right now for anybody who may be with us. So who do we got with us, Sister Ruth?
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you and me.
Well, since it's only us, Sister Ruth, what do you got for a prayer request?
Just a little eye problem tonight, and I've been having trouble with my leg since I fell. But I'm still going to plug along and get going and do what I got to do, so I just praise the Lord. And help Emily to pray for her because she was having an issue earlier.
Yep. And then, of course, the situation over in Israel, all our country's leaders, they seek after God, not after man. Our military, our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, those who work in hospitals and nursing homes, the nurses and doctors, all our doctors and nurses, no matter where they may work or where they may be at. And, of course, all the sick and shut in,
the patients in the hospitals, nursing homes, and, of course, all the lost in general, especially that soul who may be nearest hell, that they come to Christ tonight. So we ask you to pray for that. Amen. So, Sister Ruth, we'll ask you to give us opening prayer, and then we'll get right at the broadcast tonight.
Well, Lord, we want to praise and bless your name and help some people come to Christ that aren't ready with you. I'm glad I'm saved. June 20th, 1974 was the day I got saved. I was about 14, so it gets better every year. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean unto thy own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's been my favorite scripture since I was very young. So I just still love and trust you, Lord, and be with all the prayer requests and be with all of us as we do the program for you, Lord. And we love you. Praise your name. Amen.
Amen. So here we go. We'll get right into the broadcast tonight, and let's boogie for Jesus. Amen.
In the midnight hour, when all seems so wrong, the King of all glory is ever so strong. He comes to our rescue with power to stay. Joy comes in the morning. Oh, what a glad day. Joy comes in the morning to the saints of God. He gives us sweet victory in the path that we trod. The captain is Jesus. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through. When all looks so dark, when it seems there's just no hope, when waves of disaster make it so hard to row, look around, there's the captain. Oh, the captain of joy. Joy comes in the morning, we'll sing ship ahoy. Joy comes in the morning to the saints of God. He gives us sweet victory in the path that we trod. Oh, the captain is Jesus. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through. Joy comes in the morning to the saints of God. He gives us sweet victory in the path that we trod. Oh, the captain is Jesus. Yes, sirree. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through. Oh, the captain is Jesus. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through.
heart strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just stay closer, walk with Thee.
Yeah. Keep your lure in the water, in the water
you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling either Station 1 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Or Station 2 by calling 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sundays on Station 1.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
The Six Eyes Gospel Show, but you get your praise on without leaving the house.
1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And then on Station 2.
The song, the Bible, the song, the Holy Word. The words of all the prophets and the sayings of our Lord. Of all the other books you'll find, there's one salvation hold. It's that the song, the Bible, and redeem your poor soul.
The Six Eyes, cover to cover study of the Word, with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Mondays, on Station 2.
This is the Six Eyes, Lost and Found. There are thousands of missing people every year. And for every one of them, someone, somewhere, has seen them. Maybe that listener is listening tonight. is you.
5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and then on station 1, get motivated.
Oh. Six Eyes Radio, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. For the word of a king is, there is power. They may say unto him, what doest thou?
1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And then, on station 1.
For he took me as I was, oh praise his name.
Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Fridays, on Station 2.
Records on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1
with AJ and the Squad.
8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Then on Saturdays, on Station 2.
Welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Backstage at Six Eyes. Now, this is the show where I'm going to be interviewing various people, celebrities, entertainers, authors, poets, candlestick makers, you name it. If they're doing anything, I'm going to be interviewing.
8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And finally, last but not least, on Station 1.
What's going on? You're tuned into the hottest radio station, the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Kicking It with Six Eyes, ATL and the Crew. Six Eyes, ATL and the Crew.
11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40.
And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
So, what have you done to the least of Christ's brethren? Who are his brethren? They, Jesus said in his word, they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven is the same, my brother, my sister, my mother, etc. These are his brethren. So, what you've done to them, when you give them a glass of water, when you give them something to eat, when you visit them in prison or in the hospital, nursing home, etc., how you treat them is how you treat Christ. You're not doing it to them. Remember, you're doing it ultimately to Christ. found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Amen.
Secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning. And he was always in line of fire when the fights began. But he just stood there at attention and obeyed all their commands. They'd march him up the stairs and throw him in his room, twist his little arms and torture him and leave him with his wounds. He thought of going over the hill time and time again. But he'd just cry and snuggle up to his little brother, Jim. The baseball team quit calling. He had to sell his bike. He mowed lawns in the afternoon and cleaned the house at night. Now, the teacher just didn't understand, because he wouldn't tell why his grades were falling off. So when school let out, he failed. Now, they lived on welfare money and what little he brought in. And when the food was low, he would do without. That's just the way it was with him. He worked with colds and fevers. His coat was thin and worn, and he wore long sleeves to hide the ugly bruises on his arms. You see, his mom and dad were brutal. Why, it's a wonder he remembered how to find or force a smile. Their tempers fired, their voices roared. That was his reveille. And taps was when they both passed out. That's when he got to sleep. He dreamed of things he couldn't have, like toy trains and planes, swimming at the swimming hole and baseball parks and games. But dreams for him were meant to see, not for him to touch. 'Cause dreams like these were just for kids. And he was 10 and all grown up. A one-man army, that's what he was, drafted into life. Working hard and taking care of a worthless man and wife. He was afraid, yet he was brave. But not once did he retreat. This hero child of modern times would not accept defeat. He was chaplain, guard, teacher, cook, prisoner of war. A perfect model of more than an average all-American boy. Caught between his daddy, his mommy, and their sins. And he lived through a senseless war. The kind where no one wins. Then, one day, he won 2 tickets to a baseball game. So he took his little brother, Jim, and they were gone most of the day. But when the game was over, and they walked back across the town, to find their house had caught on fire and burned down to the ground. The fireman took his little hand and very sadly said, "Your mom and dad were asleep inside, son, and both of them are dead." The fireman waited for the tears to spill, but not one tear left his eyes, because this little family soldier just couldn't cry.
Bibles plural 4FOR, theblind.org.
Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Tim and his Hebrew word of the week.
Okay. Jackie Groover coming to you here with Hebrew Words Week. And the Hebrew word for week is Tu'im. Redeem, or how you would say Tu'im, and the way you say to redeem in Hebrew is Li'gol. Li'gol. As an Edward, E is an Edward, G is in Joel. O. L. Leap. Old. Two. And Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this, by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he had holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. And the Hebrew word for the week, to redeem, league hold. Till another Hebrew word for the week. This is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours, and thanks again for your prayers for me, and for the body of Christ, and for the soul, the land of Israel.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Finally made your entrance to
Jesus, you call me your friend, even when I was your foe. Calvary was love beyond degree, now conquered by such love. That brings me to my knees. Lord, help me rise a faithful witness to be.
to sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody, No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
The Worldwide Church of God, founded by the late Herbert W. Armstrong, has been classified by Orthodox Christians as a cult since its inception a little more than 50 years ago. Today, under the leadership of Joseph Tkach, the church says it is changing some of its doctrines. My name is Bob Allen, and in the next half hour, James Walker of the Counter-Cult Ministry Watchman Fellowship and Dr. James Kennedy will review some of the apparent changes, assessing them from a biblical standpoint. We'll also talk with a high-ranking official of the Worldwide Church of God. Joining us first is James Walker, Texas State Director of Watchman Fellowship. James, welcome to Truth That Transform.
Thanks. Good to be here.
James, why do you think it is that many Christians believe that the Worldwide Church of God is a fundamentalist Christian church?
Well, when you see their television program, The World Tomorrow, or you see their magazine, The Plain Truth, unlike in earlier years, much of their distinctive doctrines is not put forth clearly on these programs. They're made to appeal to the Christian, to the conservative person who's looking for morals, looking for values, looking for Christian significance or biblical significance in today's headlines. And so a person can actually subscribe to the Plain Truth magazine for many, many months and not see anything that clues them into the real doctrines of the Worldwide Church. So it comes across as a fundamental conservative Christian denomination, but its doctrines are anything but that.
Well, let's talk about some of the distinctive doctrines of the church and why, historically, the Worldwide Church of God has been considered a cult.
Well, they deny the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. When I use the term cult, I hope our listeners don't misunderstand me. I think that the people who are in the Worldwide Church of God are very nice, clean, moral people, very sincere. But because of their definition of God and their description of how a person has salvation, we cannot classify them with Orthodox Christianity. That's all I mean by the term. Some examples would include their denial of the historic doctrine of the Trinity that's been held by all of Orthodox Christianity from the New Testament times till today. They deny the personality of the Holy Spirit, saying that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but simply is a force like electricity or some kind of emanation from God, but not a person. They deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, saying that Christ rose only spiritually from the grave, and the body did not rise, and Jesus is no longer human. They deny salvation by grace, teaching that there are a number of works. Historically, the church has taught that there's a number of works that a person must do to earn their salvation, or to become, as Herbert W. Armstrong used to say, we believe in salvation by grace, but there are conditions that you must comply with, and some of those conditions would include baptism, keeping the Saturday Sabbath, paying a tithe, church membership in the Worldwide Church of God, attending certain annual feasts, and there's also certain dietary laws that must be kept. And so these are just some examples of denying the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith and teaching works salvation.
Now, apparently, in recent days, the Worldwide Church has been undergoing some change, some doctrinal review. And I know you've been in conversation with some members of the hierarchy. Tell me something of what you understand is going on in Pasadena right now.
Well, there are some very welcome changes taking place. The church has recently become softer on its doctrine of healing, teaching that it's actually okay for its members to go to a doctor. In times past, worldwide members would die from very, very treatable diseases rather than going to a doctor, that, which they call, were taught was evil and wrong. We're welcoming some of these changes. There's their divorce and remarriage doctrine has been softened in recent years, and these are all things that we welcome, that it's getting to be not nearly as harsh as it used to be on its members, and we're thankful for this. Even some of the mainstay doctrines of the church, apparently, according to some of the spokesmen from Pasadena, are under review. And, you know, we're always happy when someone is willing to take another look at their doctrine and consider orthodoxy. But I don't think that's exactly what's taking place here. In my conversations with Michael Snyder, who's Director of Public Relations for the church in Pasadena, he said that they still do not believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. They still do not believe in the doctrine of the personality of the Holy Spirit. So even though there are improvements in some areas, and they're even talking more recently about grace, I don't think they're coming under the umbrella of Orthodox Christianity.
What are some of the reasons that you would doubt, for instance, Pastor General Joseph Tkach's recent statement about salvation by grace alone through faith alone?
If that's the only thing I had to go on, it would look to me like that they may be teaching a biblical salvation by grace through faith. But when you see the other material that's still coming out, and when you talk to local members, it's definitely not trickling down to the local ranks, I don't believe. As late as their January-February Good News magazine, they compared salvation to a 747 taking off, and they said when it gets to a certain point on the runway, it's a point of no return. And if you try to stop the airplane at that point, it's too late, and you'll face a fiery crash. And they say that that point in the believer's life, in the member of the Worldwide Church of God's life, is baptism and the laying on of hands. In this article, they then give two examples in the article of how a person can turn back after baptism. The two examples they list are cheating on one's tithing or working a little on Saturday. So it would seem to me like as late as January, February of 1990, they're still teaching in their publications for their members, they're teaching what is very clearly works salvation. Now, it could be that they've changed their mind on this last week or last month, and if so, that's very good, and it's another step perhaps toward Christianity. But I suggest caution at this point, and that we weigh all the statements made by the church to see if this is really going to be their position.
As we look at the Christian response to the apparent changes in Worldwide Church of God doctrine at this time, what are your recommendations for Christians? Obviously, we have to leave the door open a bit to say, if you are really serious and if you are willing to accept Orthodox doctrine, we will stop calling you a cult. But what should we do?
Well, we do need to be cautious at this time, but also I think it's a time of opportunity. I've seen members of the Worldwide Church of God be much more open in the last two or three years, or since the death of Mr. Armstrong, actually, than they used to be. It used to be a very closed society. It used to be almost impossible to develop any kind of relationship with someone who was in the church because it was so so closed. We're seeing some of these doors come open. We're seeing some of these walls come down. And so it's a good time to develop some dialogue. I think Christians need to be concerned a little bit about terminology differences, knowing that when a member of the Worldwide Church of God says they believe in the Godhead, or they may be meaning something a little bit different than the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so not just take their words at face value. Ask for definitions. What do you mean when you say born again? If you've been born again, what do you mean by that? Do you right now have eternal life? That would be a good kind of question. So it's a good time for dialogue. It's a good time for some open doors and some walls to come down. But at the same time, we need to be to exercise caution. And when someone says something, we need to remember that what they mean by that term and what we mean by that term may be two different things. And we may be miscommunicating if we don't ask for some definitions.
One final note of importance is that the Worldwide Church has pulled from publication the book Mystery of the Ages, which was kind of the life's work of Herbert W. Armstrong. What does that tell us at this point?
Well, spokesmen from headquarters are saying that there's errors in the book, which was the crowning achievement of Mr. Armstrong's life. And although I'm happy that they're willing to review his teachings and even bold enough to say that some of his teachings were wrong, in our mind it kind of just verifies everything we're trying to say. Mr. Armstrong claimed for many years of his life to be God's apostle. When someone makes a claim like that, there's really only two possibilities. He's either a true apostle or a false apostle. If, as it seems that the Worldwide Church is now admitting, that he taught false doctrine or taught things that weren't true as God's apostle and as the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, then the entire foundation that the Worldwide Church of God was built upon would then be questioned. And so I'm happy to see some of the changes, but at the same time, I think this points to the very fact that the Worldwide Church of God is not God's only true church, as it has claimed for many years.
Well, I'm sure one recommendation we could make to all of our listeners, along with what you've already said, James, is we need to pray at this time that there will be a great opening and a great awakening within the Worldwide Church of God, and that more dialogue will happen, and that we'll see many people come to a knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
Joining us now is Michael Snyder, the Assistant Director of Public Affairs for the Worldwide Church of God. Michael, I want to thank you for agreeing to speak with us today.
It's our pleasure, Bob. We'd be happy to talk to anybody anytime.
Now, I take it that you would agree that there have been significant doctrinal differences between what has been known as Orthodox Christianity and your organization over the years.
Well, I would say that any organization goes through a maturing process, including religion. You have to all come to a better understanding as time passes and better scholarship becomes available to us. And I would characterize the church as having, meaning the Worldwide Church of God, having always had the attitude of attempting to uncover and understand as much of the truth as we possibly can from the Bible. And I would say that recently there have been a number of clarifications and certain major alterations of doctrine and changes to reflect more of a biblical understanding.
Can you give us an example of some of those changes to which you're referring?
Well, sometimes, too, I would think that some people have misunderstood what the church has said based on some unfortunate and perhaps clumsy statements made by various officials. The church has recently reemphasized the central position of Jesus Christ in our gospel, in the gospel as revealed in the Bible, and his role in each individual's lives in bringing about salvation and bringing a fuller Christian life to an individual. Smaller changes that have occurred that are of less issue are changes in makeup and in the celebration of birthdays. The church has withdrawn from taking positions on those topics. A major reclarification occurred a couple of years ago as well in our understanding of healing, divine healing, and also in the application of medical practice. The church encourages that all members should seek appropriate medical attention from qualified physicians, and reemphasize this need. In prior years, this was always permitted, but never emphasized in the way that it is now.
Now, you apparently told James Walker of Watchman Fellowship that all material put out by your organization is undergoing a doctrinal review and that there is nothing which is untouchable. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. In 1986, the new pastor general of the church, Joseph DeConte, decreed that all doctrinal material, literature, publications, broadcasts, would be brought under review and checked for accuracy, checked for updated information, and otherwise rigorously scrutinized. This included every single publication of the church and resulted in the previous major work of the church, Mystery of the Ages, being pulled from circulation permanently.
Now, mentioning Mystery of the Ages, that perhaps was the crowning work of Herbert Armstrong's life. What were the problems with that work?
Well, essentially, the work was a compilation of several other previously published articles and books that Mr. Armstrong had put together, and did not represent, as the church felt later, a accurate presentation of church doctrines and beliefs. Since it came from several different publications, the church did not feel that it represented a concurrent stream of thought that the church currently held. So as a consequence, it was pulled from circulation. It may appear in a greatly revised format, but that's under discussion and probably won't be dealt with for several months or even years.
Well, let me ask you this, Michael. Did Herbert Armstrong ever teach false doctrine while he was pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God and, as he claimed late in life, God's apostle on earth?
I would not characterize it as such. I would say, again, you have to look at it from the standpoint, and this is the church's present view, that any organization, especially those who have such a strong personality as Mr. Armstrong, when they come to a belief on a certain topic, then they personally feel this must be proclaimed, or they feel like they have to take certain actions. And Mr. Armstrong in the 1930s did not have available to him the scholarship and the resources from a biblical point of view that the church presently has available to it today. We are committed, as Mr. Armstrong was, to making change where we find we are in error. And when such can be proved, which is why we appreciate conversations with people like Dr. Ruth Tucker and others, then we will make such changes.
You mentioned the new focus on the centrality of the person of Jesus Christ. Does the Worldwide Church of God now believe that Jesus is co-eternal and co-equal with the Father?
The church has always believed that. The unfortunate aspect has been some have confused our beliefs with those of others. We believe fully in the deity of Christ and with him being holding all the same attributes as God the Father.
All right, let me go one step further then. Does the Worldwide Church of God accept the Orthodox Christian doctrine of the Trinity?
Well, when you say Orthodox doctrine, there are many such doctrines, and we have not been able to find a single one that is congruent with everyone. We do not believe in the Trinity as such as being a closed Godhead. We do, however, believe that the Holy Spirit is God and is the power of God. But we do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a separate entity in a Trinitarian framework.
Well, Trinitarians would not say he's separate, but do you believe that he is a person?
No, we do not believe that.
So does the church still hold that each member of the Worldwide Church can become a part of the Godhead or the God family like Jesus Christ?
Well, obviously, we cannot become God as God because there are attributes of God that are prohibited to people who were once physical human beings. I.e., we could never be ever existent. We could never be ever living in that regard. The church believes that we will become part of the God family and share in his glory. But we do not believe that we will become equal in that regard.
Unfortunately, Michael, because of your church's position on the Trinity, I'm sure that it's still going to be a bit of time before Orthodox Christianity takes your group off the list of cults. But I do again want to encourage you in the Doctrinal Review. I can assure you that I and probably many of our listeners will be praying for the truth to triumph among all of us. And I want to thank you again for speaking with us today.
It's our pleasure, and we certainly welcome the prayers of anyone who's listening.
That is Michael Snyder, the Assistant Director of Public Affairs for the Worldwide Church of God. Dr. Kennedy, I'd like to have you comment at this point on a couple of things we've heard. First, what is your reaction to the Worldwide Church of God's apparent shift on salvation by grace?
Well, having read the letter that has been put out to their ministers by Joseph Tkach, who is the Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, which I understand to be the highest office in that church, I must say that I was pleasantly surprised. He seems to have grasped the nature of grace and has denied the idea that we can be saved by our works, which certainly was a position that they held before. And now, as far as I could gather from what he has said in this letter, I found it to be extremely encouraging, especially because the idea of salvation, the soteriological or salvation views of a church, are at the very heart of its teachings. And so I think that this is a definite shift in their position. Now, I would like to know that this has gone beyond simply the pastors and is being proclaimed to the people, because I do also understand from those who spend their lives watching what's going on in various cults that the Worldwide Church of God has, according to them, in previous years tried to indicate to Orthodox Christians in general, and particularly to those who may have been exposing their heresies, that they were changing and were now becoming Orthodox. So and by the way, those previous changes did not make their way to their people in their pews. I hope that this is not just something staged for our benefit, but is actually indicative of the kind of preaching that is going on in their churches today. And if it is, then I would say I am very pleasantly surprised and encouraged by a very definite shift in that area.
Now, secondly, we have heard Mr. Snyder admit that the Worldwide Church of God still rejects the Orthodox Christian doctrine of the Trinity. As Christians, how should we react to this position? How serious is that rejection?
Well, we heard Mr. Snyder today say that he did not accept, or the church did not accept, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, this, again, has been traditionally typical of almost every cult, that they say that the Holy Spirit is not a person, that he is the divine force. This is typical of Jehovah's Witnesses and other cultists. And therefore, they apparently have not come all of the way out of the cultic views of the Trinity to a full orthodox and biblical view. Now, the Bible does teach that the Holy Spirit is a person. By the way, in this paper on the Trinity, the personality or personhood of the Holy Spirit is never discussed. They state that they hold to the full deity or divinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they never discuss whether or not the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, it would be, of course, contradictory to hold to his full divinity and then make him simply into a force or an influence of some sort, as Jehovah's Witnesses do. This is also not something which is merely a theological nicety that theologians have come up with in their hair-splitting. And by the way, these kinds of things, they say that they are not going to consider a part of their view of the Trinity, but this is something taught in the Bible. What is the essence of personhood? The definition of the soul is that it has mind, heart, and will, or intellect, emotion, and volition. That these are the things which make us persons. A human being has intellect, he has emotion, and he has volition. He can think, he can feel, he can will. Now, the Bible clearly teaches all three of these things concerning the Holy Spirit. For example, the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures that he is grieved, that he testifies, he teaches, he speaks, he was lied to, he was tested, he is a witness, he tells, he calls, he sends, things seem good to him or not. He can hinder, he warns, he groans, he helps. And these and other indications show that the Holy Spirit thinks, wills, and feels, and therefore very clearly is a person. To predicate these things of a force, like electricity or gravity or any other kind of force, would be absolute nonsense. No mere force does any of these things, only a person does them all. And so the Bible clearly teaches, and historic Orthodox Christianity has clearly held, that the Holy Spirit not only is divine, but also is a person, a divine person like the Father, who is also a spirit and a person as well, but not corporeal as the Son was, who assumed a human body. So, to sum up, let me say that I am very encouraged by the changes which I see are taking place, and we still hold some reservations and hope that God will lead them into a full acceptance of the nature of the Trinity, because this is a crucial matter. God is at the very heart of the Bible. The Bible is about God and of his revelation of himself to us and what he, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have done for us. The Father has created us, the Son has redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit regenerates and sanctifies us. This is essentially the economy or the economic nature of the Trinity as it is described by theologians. And so I'm encouraged, and we wait expectantly to see further developments.
And for those who are wondering about the paper to which Dr. Kennedy was referring in his remarks, the Worldwide Church of God has sent us several documents, including what is apparently a draft of their new doctrinal statement on the Trinity. According to Mr. Snyder, we are apparently the first to see this document. Several of the professors from Knox Seminary here in Fort Lauderdale have reviewed it, and we hope to dialogue with Snyder and Joseph DeCotte on what we perceive as its shortcomings. I do hope you will join us in prayer for the changes in the Worldwide Church of God. It's similar to our feelings when the Soviet Union began Glasnost. We hope greatly, but remain cautious until we see some definite and lasting signs of great change. This is Bob Allen for Dr. James Kennedy. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. That Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Views expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Dr. D. James Kennedy, Coral Ridge Ministries, or this station.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit.
All right, Tim, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Yes, brother. You're the answer, I believe. And I will tell you that the answer is, in a nutshell, we go through the fires and the storms of life, the tumultuous waves of life. The Lord, Jehovah God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the great three in one are with us all the way. He's with us through the storms. He never leaves nor forsakes us. And as he never leaves nor forsakes us, we endure.
And are you sure you want that to be your final answer?
Yes, Brother Kenny, I'll take that as my final answer.
Well... For sure. We endure trials and temptations of life, as the Quick family said. And we can reach up and grab that great big hand that is greater than ours. And, as the poem says, don't quit. So you are 100% correct. Still got the foot on the old gas, I see. All right.
And to sum it all up, Brother Kenny, for our listeners, in a nutshell, Isaiah 43, verses 1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou or mine, thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the row thee. When thou walkest through the fire, it burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
Amen. And that holds so true when you're holding on to that great big hand that's greater than yours. Amen. And we'll continue with the program. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Thank you.
lesson is God's two clocks. All nature is required to have a dependable clock. The animal kingdom has to know when to eat, sleep, to mate, to have their young, change their heavy clothing for the lighter in summer, and then back to winter. They're told time by nature through delicate God-given instincts. This is more or less also true of the plant life. Some year, take it upon yourself to observe the four seasons as they carefully unfold, and you will see the vegetable clock ticking off its hours of absolute control of nature. The whole physical well-being of mankind revolves around the day, the night, the week, the month, the seasons, and years. The physical clock is given to us through the sun, moon, and stars. There's a scripture, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years." Genesis 1:14, KJV. God made Mr. Adam out of the dirt of the earth. From Adam, he took a rib and made Eve. Cain and Abel were born unto them. Then Cain slew Abel. All the descendants of Cain were drowned in the Noah flood. When Adam was 130 years old, he begat Seth, who in turn begat Noah. The sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 9 and verse 18. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. Genesis chapter 10 and verse 21. I'm refreshing your memory in regarding our early ancestors because it sets the scene for God's two clocks. The Bible tells us that Abram the Hebrew, Genesis 14:13, begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob, who after wrestling all night with God, had his name changed to Israel. 12 sons were born unto him, who eventually became the fathers of the 12 tribes. These tribes were eventually known as Israelites. Prior to Judah being taken into captivity in Babylon for 70 years, she took into her fold the tribe of Benjamin, plus a suffering remnant of all the other 10 tribes, as well as a remnant of the Levites, the priests. The members of the 12 tribes, including the Levites, who were in the fold of Judah during and after the Babylonian captivity, became generally known as Jews. That is, until they started going back to their land, December 1917. Now they are again called and recognized as Israelites. To further affirm why they were called Jews, you no doubt are aware of Mordecai. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. In the book of Esther, chapter 2 and verse 5, he's called a Jew, which scripturally proves that the term is used of any Israelite from any tribe and not of Judah only. In the book of Esther, the term Jew is even applied to Gentiles who became proselytes, chapter 8, verse 17. Of the 90 times the words Jew and Jews are used in the Old Testament, they appear 53 times in Esther. They were used 197 times in the New Testament and refer to all tribes of Israel. This disproves the theory of the 10 lost tribes of Israel, which cannot be proven by Scripture. When illustrious King Solomon died, the 12 tribes of Israel split into two corporate bodies. The northern tribes came under the leadership of Jeroboam, and two tribes in the south, namely Benjamin and Judah, stayed with Rehoboam, Solomon's son. 10 tribes kept the name of Israel. The two tribes were known as Judah, but please keep in mind that a true remnant of the 10 northern tribes fell away to Rehoboam, king of Judah, prior to the Babylonian captivity. Scripture, for the Levites left their suburbs and their possession, came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And after them, out of the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. 2 Chronicles 11, verses 14 to 17, and 2 Chronicles 12, and verse 1. This passage of Scripture tells us that the godly people in the northern 10 tribes, that is Israel, came and associated with the folk of Judah in the south. Then Israel, the 10 tribes, were taken and carried away into Assyria and removed out of God's sight. Scripture, the king of Assyria carried Israel, 10 tribes, into Assyria, 2 Kings 17:6. This took place in the year 740 B.C. Scripture, and the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers till he had cast them out of his sight, 2 Kings 17 and verse 20. However, this does not mean that all the 10 tribes, that is Israel, had been removed out of God's sight, only a part of them. Because in Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes, there was a godly remnant of the 10 tribes who left Israel in the city of the day of Jeroboam in the year 975 BC, which of course you all know is before Christ. Approximately 152 years after the 10 ungodly portions of the 10 tribes, known as Israel, were carried into captivity in Assyria in the year 740 BC, Judah and Benjamin and the remnants of the 10 tribes had become so wicked that God was ready to remove Judah out of his sight also. In Scripture, and the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight as I have removed Israel. 2 Kings 23 and verse 27. Scripture, and the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. 2 Kings 25 and 21. There they remained in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, Jeremiah 25, 11 through 12. After that, 42,360 of these Jews, as they were called from then on, returned from the Babylonian captivity to their own land. Those who remained in Babylon were dissolved and removed out of God's sight, as he said they would be. They were the ones who went into business and got involved in the economy of prosperous Babylon and were not willing to return to Palestine. They soon vanished from the face of the earth as the word of God said they would. But the portion of the Jews who did return to their land was made up of all the 12 tribes, as was evidenced by the register, which was made of all the remaining remnant. Ezra 2, verses 1 through 54, it's a rather long list, but at least take a look at it. It's a Bible proof of a return of all the 12 tribes from the Babylonian captivity. Scripture, and when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Ezra 3 and verse 1. Remember, this was 200 years after the 10 tribes had been carried away into Assyrian captivity. Therefore, what God did to the 10 tribes was simply removing out of his sight of the ungodly portions of them. That was done by losing them in Assyria. The ungodly portion of all the 12 tribes in Judah was dissolved and removed out of God's sight into Babylon. Please note what I just said. There's a technical difference in the 10 tribes in Assyria and the 12 tribes in Judah. You see, when you understand the difference, then you can't accept the British Israel theory that seems to be so popular today. In case you have become deeply engrossed in what we're studying, we're looking at God's two clocks. After God's painful experience with the people in Adam's day and the sad encounter of Noah's day, he decided that man could never save himself and the population must be prepared to receive Christ, whom he had promised to Adam and Eve and their posterity before they left the Garden of Eden, saying, here's a scripture, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. Another scripture, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans 16:20. Man had to be shown he couldn't save himself and that Christ must do it for him. A lost sinner, what was impossible for him to do for himself? So God called an ancient family out from their distinguished kinfolk and then their environments by the name of Terah in the year 2021 or 2121 B.C. Scripture, and Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and Terah died in Haran. Genesis 11:31-32. God then called Abram to separate himself from his family, promised him and his children after him a beautiful, fertile land. Also, God gave Abraham posterity as the sand of the seashore in number. Then an accurate record was kept in a special book, the Bible, showing the grievous sins of that people against the law which God gave them to help govern their lives. In the sacred book, there is also a factual record of God's patience, long-suffering, and divine love in dealing with this people, Israel. Reason being, so the world could see and know that man is a miserable failure, God is remarkably merciful. Mankind needs the Christ whom God brought through the lineage of Abraham. Scripture, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will shew thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12:1-3. Scripture, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee unto a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountain and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive, oil, olive, and honey. Deuteronomy 8:7-8. Scripture, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:16. The land which God gave Abraham was for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Genesis 17:8. Therefore, God must keep certain Israelites who will always be known to him as the legal possessors of that vast everlasting possession. Scripture, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Isaiah 1:9, that is completely exterminated, which the Jew could not be. Scripture, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11:1-5. In the book of Revelation, we find a record of 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel who will be in Judea during the tribulation period, for whom God prescribes a mark on their foreheads so they can be protected against the angels of tribulation. Revelation 7:4, Revelation 9:4, Ezekiel 9:4. God described the blood of lambs to be placed on the doorposts of the children of Israel in Egypt so they could be preserved at that time. Thus, God has preserved a remnant of the Israelites down through the ages who have been the legal possessors of the possession of the land of Canaan, which was given to Abraham for an everlasting possession. In this promised remnant contract are included Israelites from all the 12 tribes. Please bear in mind this entire process was part of the prophetic clock, so all the world could look and at any time know the lateness of the appointed hour. In order the Israelites could be exposed to themselves, that is, realize they did not have the ability to save themselves, God gave them the law at Mount Sinai. possessing the law and the fact they were Christ's brothers in the flesh, the only advantage that Jew has ever possessed over other people. Next scripture. What advantage, then, hath the Jews? Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles or words of God. Romans 3, 1 through 2. Imagine, will you people, the official custodians of the word of God, and yet have all the external advantages, such as were not sufficient to save the soul. As the centuries rolled into oblivion, Christ came just exactly as the Bible, the Old Testament, said he would. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin can conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. This prophecy was made 742 years before it came to pass. The Jews could have been watching for us its ultimate fulfillment. Christ came to do for them what none of the Israelites could do for themselves, namely keep the law, which he did and thus ended it. Scripture, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:4. This portion of God's word tells us that the law ends in Christ. Why? He fulfilled it by being the real sacrifice of which the Mosaic law sacrifices were merely typical. Ephesians 2:14-15, Colossians 2:14-17. Moses' law, he could not save, only blindly condemn. It made the sinner realize his need of salvation. Christ became the end of the law, sacrifices, types, rituals, and outward religion which foreshadowed him. The Lord slain before the foundation of the world, in order that the Jews could know how, when, and where Christ would come. 196 signs were placed in the Old Testament, which Christ's first coming would fulfill. He was born in Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah. The little children in Bethlehem were to be slain. So Isaiah said he would heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, open the eyes of the blind, cause the lame to walk, and preach the gospel to the poor. He was to come as their king riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. He would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Crucified with the wicked, gamblers would cast lots for his garment, plus multiplied scores of other prophecies. Everything happened exactly as it was told in the Holy Book. In spite of the accumulated prophetic evidence, the Jews rejected him and turned their back upon their would-be Savior. Christ did likewise, visiting upon them partial blindness and partial deafness, which was to remain with them until he returned to his second advent at the close of the Battle of Armageddon. Scripture, according to this is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Romans 11 and verse 8. Turning to the Gentiles, Jesus publicly proclaimed to the whole world, saying, on this rock himself I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Then he chose 12 disciples whom he personally instructed for 3 years, after which a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1:9. On that occasion, two angels said to the bewildered disciples, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Acts 1:11. Let's now incorporate our thinking concerning God's two clocks. Let's do we examine the prophetic clock and the scriptural clock together. And let's see the lateness of the crucial hour in which we live. Jesus Christ is coming back to deal with the Jew, and when he does, the time of the church comes to an end. The church will be removed to heaven before Christ's second advent. The church cannot go into or through the tribulation. Scripture, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, secret, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's Romans 11, verse 25. And Jesus Christ comes back to regather the Jews from among the nations, then the prophetic clock nears its midnight hour. And all Israel shall be saved. It is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Romans 11:26. The Jews will not come and worship at the feet of the church until they are fully persuaded that their lamps are gone or going out. That is, they are no longer under the law. Scripture, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, so go get you out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wife, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Matthew 25, verses 6 through 8. Scripture, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they say are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." Revelation 3, 9. In closing this lesson, let's summarize God's two clocks. Number one, God's prophetic clock is in its last years of finalization prior to the return of the Jews to their homeland. The judgment of the Gentile nations, the placing of national Israel under the rod, and establishment of the little 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, when a true evangelical believer beholds a host of true biblical evidence confronting mankind, there's nothing to do but accept the fact that God's prophetic clock is ticking off the prophetic minutes and the lateness of the hour creeps upon civilization. Number two, God's spiritual clock, likewise, is nearing the proverbial midnight hour. For almost 20 centuries, the door of salvation has been ajar. Mankind in this age of grace has had multiplied scores of opportunities to be saved and brought into a perfect relationship with the loving God. Yet, this age will close one day. When it does, God declares, "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned or judged who believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. Dear listener, if you are unsaved, please don't make the same mistake the foolish virgins made. The Bible says, "And at midnight there was a cry made. The bridegroom Christ came, and the door was shut." Matthew 25, 6 and 10, King James Version. Please bear in mind, though you are engrossed in the involvement of life, yet around you there ticks the moments on God's prophetic clock and God's spiritual clock. God's two clocks afford all the universe the lateness of this hour. This is a little poem called God's Clock. "The clock of God is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when that clock will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's health is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that nothing can restore." And the next lesson will be God Becomes All in All.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is an at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061. And the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's SIXEYES space RADIO. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES space radio, RADIO. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
And we want to say we are finally at that time for our open mic segment. And so who do we have with us, Sister Ruth?
We're still having technical difficulty. We have a line here at the bottom that is still working. There's a spinner going on, and nobody's up there yet.
Fire off. Okay, let me come in there and see what we could do. All right. But for right now, Ruth, we'll let you talk a little bit and see if you got any requests or comments on what we've done, at least till we could get this going.
Yeah, I always like the way you put together the music. And in fact, usually I end up singing along with the songs, and I like the kids program too. I like all the music and all that. It's pretty cool. Here, honey. And so I just praise the Lord for what we have. It sure is nice when it works right too. But we have our days, and sometimes it happens. So, you know, I just thank the Lord for what we have. Got some real...
My episode, your next scheduled episode, is scheduled for Wednesday, January 10th. That's the one you have. Crazy.
But anyway, I really enjoy the music, especially. I've always been a music person. Oh, it's up there now. It's up there now. It's okay. It's all right. It's back. Yeah, you're up there with Emily now.
Can you get her mic open?
Yes.
Did you?
Not yet, but I'm going to.
Good.
Well, I got to get over there.
All right, Emily, give us one sec. We're trying to get your mic open here. It's just being a pain in the rear here.
Here, I think it's coming. Come on. It's acting up tonight for some reason.
Yeah, but... All right.
It's just not opening the mic. It's just sitting there like it's gone. Now back to you and Truman. This thing's going crazy.
Okay, stand by here, Em. We're trying to get your thing going here. Here.
All right. Talk some more, do something. I don't know.
Yeah, I could read a few verses, I guess.
That's a good idea.
Okay, I'll just read a little bit of the Bible. He's having an issue with the board right now. It's acting weird. So let me see if I get something that I can read real quick. I always like the Psalms and Proverbs. Oh, excuse me. Get into Psalms here. Coming up to Job. There we go.
Yeah, that's what we need right now.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on.
Oh, yeah, it's having troubles. Okay, this is Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of the iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verify thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That was my grandma's favorite scripture there. Psalm 37, verse 4. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent the bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous sheweth mercy and giveth. For such as he blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall send thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not, yea, I sought him, but
but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for end of that man is peace. But the transgressors and the be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. That ended 37. And it looks like it's okay, Ken. You want me to give it a shot?
Give it a shot.
All right, I'm heading over. Yeah, it's just being funny. The computer doesn't like me, so we'll see what it does. Wine's still doing its thing. And it's not opening the mic.
Well, if the line is still showing the thing across, you got to wait on it.
Well, then I can't do nothing. Maybe another six sketches. Okay. Okay, I got a little bit more here. I got Proverbs chapter 20. Yeah. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him in anger, sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doing, whether his work is be pure or whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the tips of knowledge are a precious jewel. It's still doing its weird thing down there at the bottom yet.
Again, I suspect where this one
happened. Yeah, I feel that way too. I know. It's just that little tiny thing at the bottom.
Like how much?
Oh, about 2 small inches. I just want to get Emily's mic open. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be given hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights and an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy, and after vows to make equity, or inquiry, excuse me. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholded by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so as do stripes the inward parts of the belly. That was Proverbs 20:1 through 30. May God add the blessing to the wording of his word. Amen.
Why don't you try it again?
Do you want me to do this? Oh, let me try. Okay. I'll give it a shot. Trying to click onto the mic. It just won't let me click it. Doesn't even do anything, and that line is still going. So what do you want to do?
Well, Em, if you could hear us, we're sorry, but it's just not working for us. So we're just going to have Ruth, you just have to close us in prayer. We're going to have to get out of here.
All right. Well, dear Lord, we wanted to continue, but you know what's going on, precious, so be with all the prayer requests and help Emily as she hasn't been feeling good, and just take care of her too tonight. And we just have you help us in the future if this does this again. And we just want to praise your name. Love you so much, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.